Hey there, video star. It's Sarah here, and I'm so very excited to introduce you to an amazing voice coach and voiceover artist, Ms. Tina Zaremba. Yay! Woohoo! Woohoo! She's seriously so gifted and talented. I've heard some of her voiceover work and it's just amazing. Like, she has a voice that I dream of, and she can do all this amazing stuff with her voice and like assume characters and play around. And she just, oh, she sounds so dreamy and golden. It's awesome. And then when you talk with her, she's like a regular person. she's not the like superhero that I imagined in my head. She's a real person. So I'm so thrilled to introduce you to Tina, because she literally will help you to understand your voice, strengthen your voice, and how to use it in your videos. So shall we dive in, Tina?
Let's dive in.
Okay. So first of all, I just want to thank you for being here. I really, really, really appreciate it. And I know my students are just going to get so much from what you have to teach. It's really, yeah, very, very excited.
Good.
So why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself so that they can get to know you a bit?
Sure. So, hey, everyone. Welcome. My name is Tina Zaremba, Sarah mentioned, and I'm a voiceover performer / voiceover coach. And I've been doing this for 15 years. Oh, my gosh. prior to that, I studied acting at Lee Strasberg Theater Institute, New York City. And I love, love, love voiceovers. I say that I am a professional talker, and I love bringing words to life. It's kind of like acting on steroids. Really, really quick.
I love it. And we both went to theater school in New York, by the way.
Yeah, you went to Circle and Square, right?
No, I went to the Neighborhood Playhouse.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so you've got a couple of New York lovers here. Yeah. All right, so let's dive into the voice, shall we?
Okay.
Okay, so if you could share with people, because I know that there's a lot of fears around the voice, and I know for me, like, it's taken me a long time to understand what my voice sounded like. And anytime I'd hear it, like, on a voice, in a commercial or, like, on screen or just on an answering machine, I would freak out. Like, I'd just be like, oh, because I always felt it sounded far less full as it sounded to my ears. And so for me, it's been a journey of really learning to love my voice. But I'm curious to hear about what you believe when it comes to the voice, how we hear ourselves, and what we can do about it.
Well, I mean, I feel the voice has the power to influence, entertain, engage. It's the truth to the soul. And so I think that's, you know, people get uncomfortable around it, I feel, because there's a truthfulness that comes out. You know, you can hear the shakiness in the voice when someone holds tension and when they're nervous. Sorry, I went off and was just thinking about that for a moment.
Yeah, no, that's okay. But it's true. Like, you can hear when they're, when someone is feeling nervous, like, you can really, the voice kind of bottoms out and it loses its strength and power. It becomes kind of breathy, and there's all sorts of crazy stuff that can happen with the voice.
And I think that women especially have been taught, maybe not even consciously, that our voice needs to be a certain way. I mean, it's here, especially more younger women. I think back to my years as a teenager and in my early 20s, I would put my voice up here. And some people tend to do that when they're nervous, or it just happens because I think we're kind of taught in media and our culture, maybe sometimes our family life, that that's how a lady's supposed to sound, you know, versus having that rich voice, which comes from your belly and your diaphragm.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. My vocal coach in New York City, he used to talk about how the voice can often be an adaptation that you have acquired based on the environments that you've been in.
Yeah. Like a caricature of who you really are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like, for example, like, say someone has developed a very meek voice. You know, it could be that they've been around like situations where it wasn't okay to speak up, you know, so you acquire and you develop this meeker version of what your true voice actually is.
I think that's absolutely true. Yeah. And everyone on some level has that. And my goal as a trainer is to help people let go of that veneer that you find, you know, when someone paints something, they put on a veneer, and to find all the nuances and colors, which isn't about a step-by-step process. You do one, you do two. For me, it's about going here and then zigzagging here and doing some kind of odd exercises to really get out of your head. So what you think, you know, voiceover talent that I work with, I tell them in the very beginning not to use headphones, because in a studio when you're recording a voiceover job, a lot of times they'll have headphones. If you have headphones, you're listening to yourself and you're more caught up in listening to yourself. So actually, you and I were talking before we started this. I was saying I feel it's really important to know why you're talking and what you want the listener to take away and how you want them to feel. Because if you're focused on that, you're not going to be focusing on how I sound. You're going to be really hoping that your message is coming across.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. I actually have, like, I mean, let's explain with the headphones, like with the headphones in a voiceover studio, like the microphone's over here and you have headphones and it literally blocks out every other sound. And all you hear is your voice as it's being fed through the microphone, as opposed to these ones where you don't hear what you're saying. And I find it very disconcerting.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so obviously people who are going to be speaking on videos or speaking to a large group, they probably would not have headphones. Yeah. That said, I still think having an intention and having a clear intention as to why you're speaking will dramatically help the voice, because you will not be thinking of the voice. You'll be thinking of your message and what you're communicating.
Yeah.
Your why.
Yeah. So true. And let me ask you, as far as with, you know, our entrepreneurs, students who are listening or watching, do you think, you know, because I remember with my voice coach in New York, it was all about like making your voice better. And he wanted to get us into our true voices. So mm-hmm. for them, I don't know if it's necessarily realistic to have them do a year and a half or 2 years of voice work in order to find their true voice. So what do you recommend? What would be like a goal for them as far as voice work is concerned?
Well, you know, I still think you can get to your true voice, maybe not going to New York City and working with a vocal coach. But to me, there are some ways that you can get to that in maybe not in a linear fashion. So for instance, I mentioned to you, in the morning, when you get up, to be quiet and just to be still and observe the sounds around you and how you're feeling. If you can become more and more aware of the sensations that are happening in your body and allowing them to be, then when you go to speak, you're not going to push them down. And a lot of times you'll hear tension in the voice because someone is trying to ignore the fact that they're nervous, rather than to just acknowledge it and let it be there. It's like, okay, there's my nerves. My old acting teacher used to say, there's my dotties. And he didn't judge them as bad. It's just like, well, that's just a sensation that's going through the body. And actually, I heard somewhere that if you allow a feeling or sensation to fully be there, it can only last for less than a minute, like 30 seconds. It's when one doesn't allow it to be there that it gets pushed down. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's one technique to really get closer to moving to your authentic or your true voice, is to be quiet in the morning. Second would be to just read everything out loud, because we're so used to email now and texting that when we start speaking, we're like, who's that? Well, we're not used to hearing our voice. So from the newspaper to a magazine, just read it out loud, get used to your voice. And then get used to what your message is. Why are you speaking? And not just your message of what you want the listener to take away from, if it's a video or a talk you're getting, but your huge why for life. Because if you're really clear on what your vision is, why you're here, what you want to contribute, it's just going to be so much more easier to be connected to that.
Yeah, that's actually a really good lesson. I find when I'm doing my videos, like, my bigger why has to do with living a good life. You know, mm-hmm. it has to do with the good stuff should be good. And mm-hmm. that came from a series of losses, as you know about, Tina. So for me, my bigger why has to be present when I'm doing this stuff, because otherwise, why am I doing it? you know? So that's why, like, I allow myself to have fun, and, you know, and it's about trying to lift people up so that they can have some fun and enjoy this part of their life as well.
You know? Yeah. I really think that that's something, to me, that's the foundation. And I, as you're talking, it's just becoming more crystallized for me. But if you really understand what you want to offer throughout your life, your life's purpose, it could just be one word, to serve, to have fun, that will emanate forth and that'll radiate from your voice. Because it's not about a tone. It's the intention underneath that tone that people really hear. And they're drawn, they lean in. And when someone leans in, you've got them. When you're talking at someone, you're like, and you push away. And usually people are talked at when they're not connected to the purpose, their intention as to why they're speaking, as well as their intention for their overall life.
Yeah. And I'll say this to my hashtag gold star students. In module 2, we worked in one of your sweet sheets. You had a list of action words to choose from, and you had to choose ones that you resonated most with. So go back to that list and reconnect it to what we're talking about right now, and I think you'll find some serious gold in there. So that's a little sidebar for my students.
Yeah, and you know, to add to that, I would also recommend if someone is practicing a talk, be it something they're going to give in front of a group or it's going to be taped, to use that word as a practice before you speak. So if your word is service, say your trigger word, service, and then go into your talk, because there's something about that word that's your intention, your why, that is going to ground you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yay. So let me ask you, you know, you mentioned this thing around waking up in the morning. So can we go through, do you have any other daily best practices as far as helping the voice to, I don't know, to cultivate it, let's say?
Sure. So I mentioned waking up and being quiet and being aware of the sounds around you and what's going on within your body. I also like to start off with, oh, it's raining here. I don't know if you can hear that. It's awesome. Speaking of sounds around me.
I wish I could.
A warm cup of water with lemon. That'll I'm not pronouncing the word correctly.
Alkalize?
Thank you. The body versus having, I love coffee, but you don't want to start off with coffee right away because it's so acidic and it'll dry out the throat. So usually I try to start off with a cup of warm water with lemon, and then I'm just quiet for a little bit.
Okay.
Reading out loud. Also doing, you know, a few, I don't know if you want to talk about vocal warm-ups now or we can do it later.
We'll do it later. Oh, yeah. By the way, guys, she's going to be doing some vocal warm-ups for you. Yay! Okay. We'll do that later. So waking up in the morning, being quiet. How long would you say people should be quiet for, would you say, and just listening?
Well, if you can, 20 minutes. I know it's difficult. I have a family and a little boy, so I'll take 5 minutes sometimes and just be still.
Yeah.
There's a great, I like chanting, you know, for some people that might be a little too out there, but, Wayne Dyer, if you Google Wayne Dyer morning meditation, he has this Om meditation, and there's something about, for me, doing that sound Om, that you feel the vibrations in the throat area, you feel it in your belly, and it relaxes. And what I find is usually when I'm doing that chant and just going Om, I start to yawn, and yawning is wonderful. If you ever find yourself tense before you go to speak, just yawn, because it's relaxing all this right here.
Yeah. Oh, I bet everyone's yawning now. It's so contagious.
Ages.
Okay, lovely. And it sounds, I mean, just like a great way to start your day, period, is to start your day listening. And I know, like, the warm lemon and water, or warm water and lemon is, I do that every morning, but that's just because I hear that it's really good for your body and it's a good way to start your day in your belly. But if it's also good for your voice, even better.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there anything else on top of that? Or do you think that's the best way to get started as far as, you know, honing your voice and being more aware of sound?
So I think that that's a great starting point. And I also think listening to, you know, TED Talks and The Moth has some really engaging speakers. And when you listen to that, you're going to find that some people have really high voices. Some people have really low voices. You know, why I say that, well, I mentioned earlier that you'll hear a lot of younger women that talk high. Some people naturally just do have a higher register and still can compel someone and, you know, you're drawn in. If you go to themoth.org or to TED Talks and listen to some of those stories, ask yourself, what about that? Why am I leaning in? Because it's not going to be about their vocal tone. It's going to be about the storytelling and their why.
Yeah.
So become like a master of researching effective speakers and looking at what drew you in.
I love, this is such a great way to start your day. Oh my gosh, it's so good. It's just like quiet stillness, getting in touch with your body and like your senses and inspiration, getting some inspiration as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Because, you know, it's funny, like the voice training that I have done, you know, the first thing that I remember going is like, oh, I didn't realize that at all. I thought the voice was just kind of like this thing that happened in your windpipe. And it's not at all. It's actually about so much more than what's going on just here and with your mouth, you know?
Yeah, I used to think of voiceovers as Morgan Freeman, Lauren Bacall, these people who have these really rich voices, and didn't think that I would ever do voiceovers. I'm becoming more and more aware that it's not about that. It's about, like I said, the story and the connection, you know? Because people, if it's an advertising, they don't buy a product. They buy an experience that they're going to have. Yeah. People don't buy a service. They buy the experience or the feeling they're going to have. So if you're aware of what your experience is that you want to offer, your listener's going to be that much more aware.
Yeah. Oh, I love it so much. So let's move on to something that we've brushed upon already, but I think like diving further into it will be really helpful for my peeps. Is right. This lovely, I call it the T word, tension, which can really get in the way of not only being comfortable on camera, but also of your voice being able to come as fully through as it could. So can you talk to me about, first of all, like how you see tension getting in the way of the voice?
Well, to me, tension gets in the way of the voice when you don't allow it to be there, right? When you, and it's needed to be there. I mean, I'm thinking about, like, this is way out there, but having my son, the contractions that happen, that's kind of needed in order to have the birth of the baby. Mm. Tension is needed in a process, right? Sure. It's when you suppress the tension down that it becomes a bad thing. But in our society, we've judged tension and nerves as it's bad. It's not bad. It's just part of the process.
Yeah.
And it actually can really illuminate the process and make it that much more compelling to the listener and for your overall experience if you ride that wave of tension.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to stop labeling it as bad. And this is just part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to Adele, the singer, and she still gets very nervous before she sings.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, wow, they have a bucket there for her to throw up in. Right. But she's just, this is just part of my process.
Yeah. Well, I have this one video mission. It's not one video mission. It's more of a lesson that I have people do that is dare to be bad. And, you know, more times than not, when people are able to allow themselves to just suck, you know, or give themselves at least that permission in their brain to suck at something, it releases so much energy in a positive way. And it actually engages the voice in a fuller way. And, you know, when people allow that tension to just live, it really can release the voice.
Yeah. And I think that you're touching on something that's really important to say, which is, you know, a lot of the voiceover jobs that I booked that have been my biggest jobs, so national network campaigns, I flubbed up at the audition. And something about that flubbing up, like my true voice came through, that part of me that's constantly there, the inner critic watching, was just like fell quiet and Tina came out.
Yeah.
we have this notion that we have to be perfect, and that's right. And there's beauty in the imperfection. People really don't want perfection. They want a real person.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. You know, there's so many times when I've left an audition as an actor where I was like, God, that just sucked. That was, you know, and you book it. Yeah. But there's a difference, though, because there's a difference between sucking when it didn't go your way, but it went a different way. And it just something happened, some sort of unexplicable thing happened in the room. Versus when you go in and you're so nervous and you actually truly did suck, like you actually went in and the nerves took over in a bad way. And you just like you're like, I've definitely had that. I don't know if you've had that happen. I've definitely had that happen.
Sure.
And I think that's actually more of the zone where a lot of entrepreneurs rest, is they're in that zone where the nerves are taking over in that negative way. And the tension is taking over in a negative way, and they don't know what to do with it as far as helping release that voice. So do you have any recommendations for people when they are not, because, you know, it can be hard to just go, okay, I allow myself to be bad. It can be challenging to do that in a positive way, you know, where they are trying so hard to be perfect that they're just getting more and more tense. And the voice just kind of, you know, the breath gets very short and the voice just clamps up, and, you know, do you have any recommendations for people in dealing with that type of tension when the tension is not being used in a productive way?
Yeah. As you were speaking, I could feel my throat starting to clench up.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And that's really, I know it's such a scary place at times, because then it feels like you're being ruled by your emotion.
Yeah.
And it's, and you're like submissive to some greater source outside of yourself.
Yeah.
The biggest thing, and I was doing it when I was feeling this in my throat, is just to breathe.
Breathe deeply, right? I know, just saying it makes you just want to take a really deep breath.
Wiggle your toes in your shoes and feel your feet on the ground. I take my shoes off when I'm in a voiceover session in a booth and feel the earth. Touch an object that is around you. So if I'm in a voiceover booth, I touch the music stand where the script is. If you were sitting in a chair and you had a camera and you were about to speak, I would start to touch the chair, because that's going to bring your body back to this moment. So start doing physical things. Feel the sensation of the chair in back of you if you're seated. If you're standing, feel the earth, feel the ground below you. And start to look at objects in the room, because you're going to become present in the present moment. This all happens very quickly, right? I'm talking about 30 seconds. Feel the chair. Feel the earth. Then notice what's in the room. Oh, there's the painting. Oh, there's another print right there. There's the sofa. Then what I want you to do is notice the space between those objects. All of that is about getting present, right?
Yeah. And breathe. Yeah, it takes
breath.
A deep breath.
The Alexander technique is wonderful for breath work. Chanting is wonderful. Yawning is wonderful. If you have an outline of what you're going to say, and you're, I don't know if this is appropriate to say it now, but I don't want to.
Go for it.
Paraphrase before you go live. Paraphrase everything. Say it as a... put yourself in an accent. Say it with a Southern accent. Say it with, as if you were Oprah Winfrey. Say, I mean, all different characters, because what you're doing is you're just playing. And something playing is very free. I mean, look at children and their imaginations, and how, you know, a child doesn't pretend he's a fireman. He just is. I look at my son. He's so into Star Wars, and I just can't believe he actually thinks he's, you know, a stormtrooper at times, and you know, you really are. So if you can get to that sense of play.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, bringing that into your body really does help as far as releasing the voice is concerned, you know, because it's releasing some of the pressure off of your voice to deliver, you know.
Yeah.
And to remind it that it can have fun. Because the voice, you know, it needs to have reminders, I think, that it's safe for it to express itself. You know, I think the voice is very, very much connected to your sense of safety, to, you know, that it's okay to be on camera, that it's okay to have a message, that it's okay to inspire people, you know. And I think the voice, as you start to believe it more and understand it more and get present with that, as you mentioned earlier around having that clear intention, that the voice starts to, you know, go, oh, maybe it is okay to poke my head out. Maybe it is all right. Maybe it is safe in this moment, you know? And it's a funny thing, the voice. It really can tell you where you're at.
Right. Permission to be bold, that you need to give yourself permission to just be. And a lot of times putting on different characters, different voices will show your voice, show your inner self that it's okay to play. There's a great video online called Pale Blue Dot. Have you ever seen it?
I don't think so.
It's there's an astronomer that's voicing it. Oh God, Carl Sagan. I think he's an astronomer. Watch, he's something else, like a comedian. No, he's not. I think he's an astronomer, and he is narrating. You see Earth from, you know, far, far, far away, and he says, "You are here." And what I love about that video, Pale Blue Dot, check it out on YouTube. It's very humbling. We get so caught up in, like, this is the biggest, monstrosity that I'm about to do. It's okay. It's just like here in a blip and gone.
Yeah.
And that we're really all kind of feeling the same thing, in that we all get freaked out. We all get scared. You know, they used to say in speech class when I was in high school, picture people in the audience in their underwear, which I thought was so silly. But what I do take away from that is we all put on our pants the same way. And the people that are listening really are rooting for you and are just scared, have their own story and their own fear. So if you can come from that place of connection and that there are cheerleaders there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah, I love that. And I love, like, for me, as my, as I've been building the course, I have had the musical Hamilton on nonstop repeat playing and in my head. And before I've recorded, every single video, I've been singing badly from the Hamilton soundtrack, like, and I have my one anthem, this power song that I put on every time before I start to do some shooting for the course. So it's just like, you know, it really goes a long way to warm up the voice in a fun way and get into your body and all that before you get started.
Absolutely. And I think beyond warming up the voice, we were talking earlier, the voice is a window to not just the soul, but to your state of mind. So I think it's important to warm up the mind and to get the gunk out of the mind and to have that clear before you speak, because it'll be coming from that place, right?
Yeah.
It's nothing. Truthfully, the times when I've had the worst auditions, the worst time speaking in front of people, is when I didn't even take 3 minutes to just get connected, get centered, and clear those cobwebs and all the extraneous noise in my head. And it's hard. Oh my gosh, we've got noise all the time going on in here.
Yeah. Now, what practices do you use to do that? Do you meditate? Do you sing, dance, or dive in?
I'll put on Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, and dance around like a crazy person. I will, if it's an audition and a really big audition and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll take that copy and I'll do it like an opera singer and just all up like this and sing the whole thing and then dive right into it, because there's some, and you'll find that, like, take that, Sarah, try it sometime. Take some notes that you have and sing it. Whoa! And then go right into it. And oh my gosh, it's like you land and you come through and you shine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've done, I mean, you know, as performers, like, we have all sorts of tricks that we use in order to get into our bodies, you know? Yeah. Cool. Love it. I love it so much. Guys, like, yeah, Tina, hashtag superstar. I don't know. I'm into the hashtags right now. I don't know what that's about. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, is there anything else that you want to add as far as what we've talked about so far, or something that we've missed as far as what you believe with the voice and connecting to your audience?
Well, you have that cheat sheet that I've given you that I think you're going to share.
Yep, it'll be down below.
tips on owning your voice. Mm-hmm. Intention. You know, one thing I want to add is think about when if a child is crossing, runs, darts across the street, and the mother says, "Get over here now." And it was really firm. Everyone will stop and learn, you know, or stop and look at that person, right? Because that mom had a really strong intention there. Mm-hmm. And I use that as an example of when you have a strong intention, people will look. And, you know, and it's not about sitting there and going, okay, on this word, I'm going to go up. On this word, I'm going to go down. I don't believe this. Maybe there's voiceover coaches that work that way. I believe it's coming from an intention.
Yeah. Not me. I'm making faces the whole time you're saying that. I'm like, ooh. It's not about having something practiced and rehearsed of how you're going to say something. It's about letting it come from the moment.
You know, right now is political season here in the United States. And I think about listening to the politicians, the ones that have captivated me are the ones where it's clear they're not reading those monitors or teleprompters. Or maybe they are, but they're really connected to what their message is.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah. And it seems like it's just coming from their heart.
Yeah. I mean, Michelle Obama on both sides, the Republican and Democrat side, everyone gave her, you know, just kudos for her speech that she gave at the Democratic convention here in Philadelphia, because she was so connected to her message.
Yeah, it actually is a really, really good example of when the voice is matching the intention and matching the message. Like she is literally speaking from her heart.
Right, and I believe that's why her voice is matching. Right, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to have my voice placed here. This is what I want to communicate and how I want to serve, and then the voice will follow that.
Cool. All right. I'm going to put a link, all the things that Tina's been talking about, guys, I'm going to put links to those things down below. I've been taking notes as we've been going through. So I will link you to all this goodness so you can see exactly what we're talking about. Now, before we go into your amazing and fun vocal warm up for everybody, I just want to kind of mention one thing quickly, which is something that comes up with video all the time is, and it is one of the lessons that I teach my students, is comparisonitis. And I think there's something about, especially with the voice, when you start to hear your voice back and you're like, oh my God, my voice sounds so ew. Like you're comparing your voice to what you think your voice should be, and you're comparing your voice to other people's voices and going, oh my God, my voice sucks. So as far as, I think there has to be a certain amount of acceptance when it comes to your own voice. How do you feel about that, Tina?
Oh, absolutely. I was just thinking as you were talking, to almost write a letter to yourself and either email it or mail it to that part of you that is judging, and to now let that go, you know. So for me, it would be like, dear Tina, I know at times, you know, you think you're too quirky and you have a little bit of a lilt to your voice and it can get too sing-songy. It's totally fine. It's there. I've got your back.
Yeah, that's lovely. And actually, I'm going to add that as an exercise for them to do. I'm going to put a little sweet sheet for you. So guys, it'll be down below to do Tina's exercise as well, because I think that's a fantastic idea. And, you know, I know, like, for even with myself, like, I'll do my letter as an example as well, which would be, dear Sarah, I know sometimes you hear your voice and it makes you cringe. I know you think your voice should sound fuller and deeper, but it doesn't, and that's cool. That is okay. And make the most of the voice that you have. Love, Sarah.
Amen. Because don't you find there's a great movie called Inside Out. Have you seen it? An animated film with it's a Pixar. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. It's actually the plot of it has some strong similarities to a play that I wrote and produced in New York.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
so there's a character sadness, and that woman, she was on a TV show. What was the TV show? I think it was The Office. Really interesting voice. But someone could listen to her and say, oh, her voice is too doldrums. I don't know anything about this actress other than she's an improviser. And oh, that's something that's very effective, is take an improv class. Even if you're not like into acting or anything, that's very freeing. Just do an improv class in your local area. Find that. She's an improviser, I think, from Second City. And this woman owns her voice. And when people own their stuff, they can be sound as odd as can be. And you're just like, who is that person? What are they all about? Because everyone has that comparisonitis where they're like, I want to be like that. I want to be. When someone else is like, well, this is me, like it or lump it, you're like, well, I want some of that too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. So I think, do that love letter, guys. And I'll say this as well. The more that you hear your voice, the more you learn to accept it. So I know when I first started acting, I really had a hard time hearing, like watching stuff, because I didn't like seeing myself and I didn't like hearing myself. After doing it more often, I got more accustomed to it and accepting of it. And, you know, when it came to making my own videos in this way, because for me as a director, I don't put myself in my projects. I don't put myself in my films. I'm always editing other people. So when I started this business and all of a sudden it was like all the camera was all on me and I was editing myself, I was confronted with hearing my voice for long periods of time while editing. And at the beginning of it, you know, when I first started doing these videos for this business, I was confronted by it again. And I had to like just let it go. And that just came from repetition, just doing it again and again. Eventually you'll get bored of being really hard on your voice and all that jazz. Like it's just that matter of just keep doing it and head in that edit suite and play around, and just it slowly will go away. And that's what I've learned from getting to do these videos for my own business. You may find that you are confronted by your own voice and just keep doing them. And eventually that feeling will go away.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yay. Okay. So it's funny because I had them do, love letters to their clients, in one of the modules. So I like that we're doing this voice, kind of like a voice love letter to themselves. It's going to be really nice. Thanks, yeah. Everyone. Okay, so should we get to the fun, fabulous voice vocal warm-up?
Sure. Yeah. All right. So the first thing that I would recommend is to loosen up the jaw. Do the alphabet with clenched teeth. So you want to do it with me?
Yes. C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
Excellent.
And I'm Canadian, so you may be a Z person, just so you know.
Some vibrating our lips, so.
Now, for people who can't do that, because I actually had them do this on one of the calls in the first run of the course, yeah. And the woman couldn't do that. Do you have an alternative for waking up the lips?
Let's see. What would I recommend? I would do stretches. Oh, God, you're going to hear popping sometimes. All right, stretches there. You can even, I think you mentioned this already, to your students, massage the jaw area. Oh, no. Yawning is really key because it loosens everything. And then to do some, I don't even know what the name of this is, but I learned it years ago and it's worked for me. So it's like these sighs where you go up and down. Oh. Oh. Take your whole body. Oh. Oh. This bond. So those are three that I would recommend.
Okay, that's lovely. That's a quick little start for them. Thank awesome. You.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add to the peeps?
Keep at it. It's not about the sound. It's about what's underneath the sound. So become more and more aware of your intention. And I love that it's videos that shine, because I think of that Marianne Williamson quote where they say it's not our darkness that we're most afraid of. It's the lightness. And who am I not to shine? I'm paraphrasing terribly. Mm-hmm. But that's the truth. Who are you not to shine? Your light is just as strong and just as important as the next person, and the world absolutely needs you and your voice. So go get them.
I love it. Thank you so much, Tina. You are the bomb diggity bomb. And on behalf of myself and all my students, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your time, your talent. And we just went so hyper-focused into the voice and how to release it. So thank you so much, Tina.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Love you. Be well.
You too. Bye.